It's The Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You are in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Not all it accounted for still. Brady's here. Artie's here. Rich still on vacation. How you doing, big boy?
Do you think Rich is going to... I'm fine. Do you think Rich is going to get back okay tonight, or do you think his plane's going to get
delayed? I don't think they're canceled. I don't understand why, because this storm is worse than the one we had earlier.
Yes.
That got his canceled like 24 hours ahead of time.
The one that we had like 3 inches of snow for?
So I'm not sure what's going on with him. Have you heard from him recently or what?
I talked to him today about his plane, and he texted me yesterday, and I could have sworn he was blacked out drunk.
Well, that's probably true.
No, he said he hadn't had one drop of alcohol. But get
this.
That's
hard to believe.
Get this, though.
Yeah.
So yesterday, Rich is at the spring. He's at spring training. He's watching the Mariners play the Rockies.
Right.
I get an alert on my phone during the show at like 4:30. Mariners lose on a walk-off single, whatever. Rich texts me at 6 o'clock and goes, congratulations on the Mariners' win. They were down 7-2 and came back and won 8-7 on a walk-off. I'm like, you were at the game, right? He's like, yeah. You know, the Mariners lost 8-7. He goes, they blew the lead.
Oh, he didn't realize it?
Like, he didn't even know what he was watching.
Oh, my goodness, man.
I'm like,
oh,
are you baking in the sun too long?
If I wasn't drinking, I would say I was drinking. I would say, oh, you know what? I've been drinking. I'm sorry.
That would have been a good way to cover it, but apparently just too much sun for Rich.
Oh, my goodness. They're not even sure what game he's watching out there.
He doesn't know what game he's watching, what color the teams are.
I'm dying to hear how his Airbnb went. You have to find out for me.
I don't know. He's still got to figure out how to get his car back. One of our listeners actually offered to drive him to Boston to get his car.
That's going to cost him a fortune. I don't know what.
What if the listener doesn't require any money?
Somebody said $15.99 per day parking. I don't believe that. I think it's like $25 a day or something.
Depends on where you are.
It's going to be another like $250 out of his pocket.
So everything he saved is
going to
be.
He's
going to
be right back right out there.
But
I mean, unbelievable.
How does he not know what game he watched? I mean, he's like, so this game was like 3-3 or something like that, or 2.
Yeah.
It was 3-2 Mariners. Mariners scored 4 runs in the 8th inning to take a 7-2 lead. Rockies scored 4 in the bottom of the 8th.
Oh, jeez.
To make it 7-6, and then the Mariners lost 8-7. And Rich is telling me congratulations on the Mariners' win.
Typical Mariners loss there.
Yeah, whatever about the loss, but the fact that Rich doesn't even know who's playing and who's who, that's the more concerning thing. Like, how long has he been in sports?
You know who didn't lose? Was our YMCA team. That's who didn't lose yesterday. How about that?
Congratulations. You had the exact same result as when I was there.
Well, first of all, they brought up all the ringers. I mean, there was they had like 9 guys all of a sudden.
Okay, instead of like the 6 that they had last time?
They only had 5 last time, I think.
Okay.
And now they had 9. All of a sudden, everybody was tall, 6'3 and taller.
That's not true.
Yeah, there was a couple.
The little white kid was all of a sudden 6'3"?
No, the new guys that they brought.
Yeah, so don't tell me everyone was
6'3". Wow, you're very defensive.
I'm just saying, don't lie.
Every new guy that they brought was like 6'3 or taller.
How many points did you have?
I said, look, I was like, I got to shoot the ball. I came out after 5 minutes, I had no points. And the game was tight. I said, I will not go down like this, like Brady.
We won, and I had 19. Did you have more than 19?
No, I didn't have almost, pretty much.
Yeah, what was that, 19 minus what?
No, well, all of a sudden I came out on fire. I hit a couple threes. Boom, boom. All of a sudden, then I miss one, and I hear one of our teammates yell, just shoot when you're open. Oh, no fooling, Sherlock. Just shoot when I'm open, huh? Like, I can't figure that out. All of a sudden, they were clamping down on me after a couple of threes.
How many points did you have?
I had 6 points.
On how many shots? I heard you were 2 of 8. From the floor.
That's close.
Wow.
That's close. But they were hacking me. Look at all the I have marks on my body. One guy landed on the top of my head, and I'm like, I say to the ref, what's up with that? He goes, well, you got the foul. What do you want? I go, I don't know. I should get like 8 foul shots for that. I thought I was bleeding. I mean, really, it was.
You are the softest player ever.
So after I decided that they were going to clamp, they were like double, triple teaming me. They weren't going to let me get a shot off. It's like 4 guys were guarding on me. So I decided I'm going to pass the ball. I only had 1 turnover, which is like 9 less than you.
Oh.
I had like 4 or 5 rebounds, which is 4 or 5 more than you have. So, wow. No, I mean, that's true.
Again, you're lying blatantly.
You don't rebound very well.
I don't rebound very well, but there's a lot.
Well, I take that back.
Zero.
You rebound your misses well. I will say that because you miss like 3-4 layups in a row, and you'll rebound them over and over again.
What has gotten into you?
I'm just saying. Don't be hateful.
Lying again.
What am I lying about? We crushed them.
Number one,
I came into the game. I hit a couple of threes. I'm dribbling. I'm rebounding. I'm passing off for easy buckets. We were up by 30 at one point. We ended up winning by 20.
And here I thought this was going to be a nice, easy show because we're off the air tomorrow and Friday.
Yeah, yeah.
We had our friend. We have new neighbors here at the station, like right down the road, the Burger Bar.
Yes, and we chowed down.
They brought us some food as a thing. You know, just a hey, we're in the neighborhood. Gift.
We'll get to that in a second, but we just crushed them without you. I want you to know that we destroyed them. The team was a lot better.
You scored 6 points.
6 points, but I was really responsible for like 40.
Right. Uh huh.
I mean, the turnovers I took away. I clamped down. The guy I was guarding was like 1 of 50 from 3-point range. I was locked down defender.
I thought there was an age limit. You had to be over 18 to
play. Wow. No, I'm telling you, there was a guy I was guarding. He was their big shooter. I just put the clamps on him.
He was their big shooter.
He was their shooter.
You were guarding him.
I was guarding him. I totally was guarding him.
If any of our listeners that are on our team are out there, you know, Tucker, Craig from Essex.
Totally was guarding him.
And I'd like to know.
Really, actually, he was just missing his shots. You know, one of those things where you're opening, just keep missing.
Yeah.
He just kept missing.
Nothing.
You don't know that. Yeah, I mean, you have no idea. I could say I did, but I was guarding him. I could say I'd take all the credit. If he was hitting it, I would have to take the blame. Would I not?
Because you don't actually play defense. You just stand 100 feet away and hope they miss.
I did. I had terrible defensive play right before the half. I let a guy just go and make a layup.
Yeah.
I'm like, I didn't know there was that much time left. I'm sorry. But I had hit a couple threes, so, you know, it didn't make a difference.
Your plus minus was good?
Oh, it was very good there. So, yeah, we clobbered them. Thanks to the Burger Bar who came here and just loaded us up with burgers, wings.
I had a chicken sandwich.
I don't even know what Chantel ate. Something with meat and bacon.
Yeah, it was something that was healthy, even though it had bacon on it.
I loved it. I mean, I loved it. It was unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
I had a California chicken sandwich, and we had some wings. And it's too bad the show started, because I could have eaten more.
Yeah, oh, totally. And I see all the scavengers out there trying to pick at our food, which I'm not happy about.
Since your wife isn't here, you decided that you were going to just go all in on the wings.
Oh, totally all in. Completely. She's out of town.
Good move.
By the way, good thumbs up to Burger Bar. If you're in the neighborhood, it's right across.
Yeah, it's right across from the UVM Medical Center.
Fannie Allen.
Yeah, the 831 College Parkway.
So really go check it out.
Next to St. Mike's.
And they get the liquor license tomorrow, so they'll be serving beer. So it is awesome. And try the onion rings. I love their onion rings. It's unbelievable. My son did commit to Kent State, so he's going to go play there next year. He'll be their goalie. One of like 100, I'm sure. No,
so
like
are you
going to
be
goalies.
A Patriot fan now because Julian Edelman also went to Kent State?
No, that's not going to sway me.
And James Harrison and Gene Steratore.
I'm not even going to root for Kent State in basketball or football. I'm just going to root for them in hockey. Yeah, that's the way I am. So, yeah, he's excited about that. So he's going to go ahead and go to Kent State. Good for him. And by the way, I'll be at the City Sports Grill tonight for trivia. Which we are having. Don't worry about the snow. So I will be there. And I'm like to Brady, well, I got to run home. And hopefully I'll get there by 7:30. And you're like, well, how tough is it for you to run home, feed the dogs? Takes you 5 minutes, get dressed, and go.
Yeah, it does. It should take you 5 minutes to feed the dogs.
Who feeds their dogs and it takes 5 minutes?
Depends on what you're giving them. What
do you give your dog? I want to know what you just put down kibble and that's it?
All kinds of stuff.
Your dog hates you.
No.
Yes, that's why
Can I finish my sentence?
Yes, go ahead.
Our dog had wet food. Our dog has rice and chicken and all this other stuff that's great.
It says that in the dog food, right? See,
he actually gets that stuff.
No. My wife cooks for the dog. See, first I got to get the dog food. I put three like big keeping cups for Stanley because he's so damn big. I got to put some brown powder, mix it with gravy. I got to mix that in, a little rice, a little turkey meat my wife made for the dogs, right? That's special for the dogs. Then I got to put like a pill and a half of something. I don't know what it is.
So she makes better food for the dog
than
absolutely.
You. I don't know what the pill is, but obviously it makes the dog bigger and better than ever because our dog is strong as hell. Then I got to put salmon oil on the whole thing.
That keeps the coat clean.
I have no idea. Why all of a sudden I got to put salmon oil?
It keeps the coat nice.
Do you put salmon oil on your food? On the dog's food? No.
No, but
so I got to put
some kind of oil.
And then I got to take the from the bowl and transfer it into a special bowl for Stanley because he eats so damn fast that he chokes on it. So I got to put it in one of those spiral things where he has to lick it out of it.
Fine. So take 7 minutes.
It takes me like a half hour to feed the dogs. And then I got to run up there. So anyway, we'll be out there at the City Sports Grill. Trivia 7:30. A lot's going on. Matter of fact, Brady, tell everybody what's coming up on the show.
All kinds of stuff this week, first and foremost. You always say what's coming up on the show when we haven't gotten to what's coming up this week.
Well, what's coming up this week?
City Sports Grill tonight. All day watch party tomorrow at the City Sports Grill. First day NCAA tournament. We'll be there noon to 9. Plenty of Sam Adams specials, giveaways. Come on out. Friday, McGillicuddy's in Colchester from 4 till 6, just during showtime with Guinness, all kinds of specials. Saturday, 1 to 3, McGillicuddy's Five Corners, and then McGillicuddy's Williston, 4 to 6.
Wow.
Join the 101.3 ESPN Bracket Challenge. You can find the direct link at 101.3ESPN.com or on our Facebook page.
I'm 2-0 already.
Winner is going to get a $200 gift card to Yipes North, car accessories, all kinds of good stuff, and $101 in cash.
Yeah, you can sign up right now. Even though I'm 2-0, that doesn't count. You just you still have till Thursday, but go ahead.
You have till Thursday at noon. As for what's coming up on the show today, we'll get into what this free agency has meant so far for the Patriots and Giants. We'll do that in 10 minutes. CVU graduate Emily Kinniston is going to join us at 4:35. She's on the American University women's basketball team. They're in the NCAA tournament taking on UCLA.
Ah,
so Emily Kinniston will join us
UCLA.
At 4:35.
UCLA.
Buster Olney at 5, and then we'll wrap up the UVM hoop season at 5:35.
Oh, boy.
With Sam Hyman.
Oh,
tough one
boy.
Yesterday.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Well, look, let's start with this. Free agency has been crazy, and we'll keep you updated as we go all through the show here on any developments that are coming. Kind of after we got off the air yesterday, Teddy Bridgewater did sign with the Jets. Mike Glennon is going to be released from the Bears and sign with the Cardinals. That's at quarterback. At running back, Jerick McKinnon from the Vikings is going to sign with the Niners. Carlos Hyde of the Niners is going to sign with Cleveland.
I need a roadmap to remember all this stuff.
I know. Well, it's right in front of you.
Yeah, I know that.
Other big moves defensively, Muhammad Wilkerson is going to go from the Jets to the Packers. Those are some non-regional team moves. The big news locally, though, Nate Solder leaving the Patriots, going to the Giants. Malcolm Butler leaving the Patriots, going to Tennessee. Deion Lewis leaving the Patriots, going to Tennessee. And Danny Amendola going to the Dolphins
as well. And the Patriots leaving Boston, too, right? No, that's not on there?
So let's start with this. Really, how if you're a Patriot fan or a Giant fan, both sides, how are you feeling right now? Do you feel like the Patriots, the dynasty is over because these players are leaving? Is it a good opportunity for the team to get younger? Do you like what Gettleman's doing in New York? This is your time as a fan to sound off.
I got to tell you, if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm kind of unhappy about all these moves. I guess people don't really care about Nate Solder. I mean, he's going to be 30. They gave him
I think that's the one they care about the most.
Really? I was going to say the least. He's going to get a 4 year. You always, for some reason, we totally disagree on that 4 year, $62 million. And I got to even tell you, I'm not even excited as being a Giant fan that he's coming on over. I'm like, you're going to go and pay for a guy that's 30 years old. He's going to be 34 at the end of the contract, but that's beside the point. We'll look at it as a Patriot fan on this one.
You can look at it as a Giant fan. How do you feel as a fan today?
I really did nothing. Well, you see, but that's not fair because it really has done nothing for me because that's not the spark. That's not the, you know, what I was looking for. That's not the meat with the meat and the potatoes. That's not what gets me going. I mean, I'm sure you needed to add an offensive lineman, but that's not what I was thinking. But again, but if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm wanting to look at all this. Now you lost four guys, and you lost some guys that were very affordable. If you wanted to give him a little bit of a raise, this is Belichick saying, I'm the smartest guy in the room again. I'll just replace him with guys that are going to be cheaper and just as good. I think losing Malcolm Butler is no surprise, obviously, on that.
We knew they were losing him and Lewis.
Right. As I said, same thing with Deion Lewis. Amendola said, hey, I'm tired of taking your crap. And I'm going to take a little bit more money. And you never offered me the money. I had to take a pay cut 3 years in a row. So I don't think it's really a surprise that he left also. Just that Nate left and the Patriots didn't want to give him that type of money.
Solder is the one that hurts the most here. Amendola hurts the most emotionally. It hurts the most sentimentally because, yes, he's so close with Brady. Him, Brady, and Edelman have a cool dynamic together. We know him as Danny Playoff. He's been good in the playoffs. He's a guy who is familiar in the playoffs, and he's just a comfort blanket for Tom Brady, a security blanket and a comfort factor for Brady. So that one hurts on that regard. I don't know that it hurts that much in the grand scheme of things, though. We're pointing to his production in the playoffs. Well, I got 16 games to take care of before the playoffs. Protecting Tom Brady is the number one thing this team has to do. You got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo. You have no other options at this moment in time behind Tom Brady. If you want Brady to be able to play 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, whatever it is, and be good, You need to be able to protect him, especially on the blind side. Now you don't have that. And, oh, by the way, the two options behind Nate Solder, they're free agents too.
Well, they were going to leave it bare there. First-time texter, Patriot fans cares about Solder the most. Running backs are a dime a dozen. No, I just said it's a deep running back draft. They're not a dime a dozen. It is still tough to get yourself a good running back, even though it seems like it is a dime a dozen. I see where you're coming on there. What did Travis in Milton write? Said, don't worry the Patriots fans because they don't like to overpay. They will replace these guys with better value. See, that's what I just said about Belichick being the smartest guy in the room. You're going to pay guys what that are borderline from the draft. You know, free agents, ones that didn't get drafted. Where are you going to get these guys?
You are going to see again this offseason just how good a coach Bill Belichick is, how good a coach Josh McDaniels is, how good the system is at developing players. Because, I mean, look at what you've lost. You've lost a guy who's protected Tom Brady for 6 years in Solder. In Deion Lewis, you lose your leading rusher. You lose your kick returner. And, by the way, he's one of two players in the NFL last year to have 10 touchdowns come in three different ways, pass catching, rushing, and in the kick return game. In Amendola, you lose your slot receiver and your punt returner. You've lost a lot there in addition
to
Malcolm
Butler.
Well, they
could have brought him back. They didn't want to bring him back. 2 years, $12 million, that's like minimum wage. But they could have worked something out with him.
The Patriots only had coming into this offseason, they only had $14 million free. So there's not a ton of money there, at least as the initial projections were, on their salary cap availability. It's just not really there. Look at this.
Wait. When people understand, when you say $14 million, people are like, well, how could they sign Solder? That's $62 million. You're talking about $14 million besides signing your own free agent.
No, I'm talking about $14 million.
So then they couldn't sign Solder or any of these guys. They're all making way more than that.
They had $14 million to sign this year. So Solder, you're looking at $15 million per year. Four years, $60 million. So they could have skimped on some of these contracts. They could have restructured other contracts. There's things that could have been done. They could have brought back some of these guys, but they couldn't have brought all of them
not
back.
Not at that money.
Not at all of this money. But
no.
The thing about, if I'm in the Giants, I'm looking at this and saying, I had to make this move. And you're saying it's not sexy. It doesn't get me excited.
No, it isn't. I know they had a problem in the offensive line, but, man, I'm like, get me a running back. Let's get a little spark.
Last year, the Giants won the offseason. They worked outside, and they got Brandon Marshall. Oh, you're going to pair him with OBJ, and oh, you're going to pair him with Sterling Shepard. And 2 years before that, they got Shane Vereen from the Patriots. And,
not sexy for me, but go ahead.
Who do you want? Who do you want?
We're talking about running backs.
You want a sexy sign. Who is it?
I want to take one of the big backs that's coming out in the draft.
That's not free agency. You want it sexy today.
No, today? I want a back from there, though. I mean, if you're asking me what kind of back I want, there is no sexy running back right now unless you're going to trade for one. I would have taken the one from Chicago, Howard. I would have taken him because I know he was on the market. I don't know how many are on the market that you can get for. I would have taken him, though. I like him a lot. I don't even know why he's on the market. I do, but his backup, the kid, what's his name? Cohen is the reason why he's on the market. But I would have taken Howard in a heartbeat.
But see, you want the Giants to do nothing today and then wait for the draft. You can't have it both ways.
That's not true. I could do something about the draft picks. I mean, if they're going to use the second one for Barkley, okay, then okay, I have no idea. If they're going to take Barkley, then I'll react to that when that happens in the draft. As of now, they didn't do anything, so I got to say, well, I'm not happy. But if in a couple of months they get the running back they want, I said, nah, you're talking, Brady. That's what I'm talking about. See, that's the way it's
got to
work
out. The Giants got a left tackle to protect Eli Manning, an immobile 36-year-old, 37-year-old quarterback. If Eli Manning's going to play, you better have an offensive line that can protect him.
Well, and I know they needed the protection.
Nate Solder goes to the left tackle. Eric Flowers, who was awful at left tackle, can go back to right tackle, which he played in college and where he was a first-round pick. That's possible also. And then I don't like the signing of Jonathan Stewart yesterday if that's the only move. But if you're going to pair him with another running back in the draft, then now we're talking about something productive at least.
I want to see how many people are going to text in about how much that the Patriots are going to miss Solder. That, oh my goodness, this means we're not going to go back to the Super Bowl, or we're done, or we're not going to be able to recover from something like that. That's one of them. I don't see how many Patriot fans are going to be up in arms over something like this on the Town Fair Tire text line, 802-655-6672. I think more people are going to be upset that Amendola left over Solder, to be honest with you. Brady, who's on the line? You want to take a quick call or what?
Yeah, we got Jason.
Jason, you're on 101.3 ESPN. What's going on, Jason?
Hey, how you doing, gentlemen?
Good, Jason. Talk to us.
So, big Giants fan, And unfortunately, Artie, I got to disagree with you. I am ecstatic about picking up him from New England.
Tell me why.
You know? Well, the reason being is for the so many years, the biggest Achilles heel on the Giants has been the offensive line.
Right.
And a good offensive line will make a mediocre running back okay.
You see, I would have done it the other way around. I would have overpaid if there was a good running back, and I would have skimped a little bit more on the offensive line. I don't like Jonathan Stewart. Now I'm upset about that unless they go out and get themselves another running back.
Well, that was the problem. There was no sweet running backs out there. So even if they did think that way, there was nothing available.
Well, like I said, you could have gotten Howard because I know the Dolphins were close to getting a trade for him for a Jarvis Landry.
And you know, not just helping the running game with an offensive line, but realistically, we've got an aging quarterback as well. 1 or 2 years is all we have for Eli left.
Right.
He is so immobile anyway, you need to protect him on that line.
No, that is true. And maybe I'm looking at it, and I appreciate the call, maybe I'm looking at the 4 years, but he's right. Eli's not going to be around in that fourth year or maybe in the third year, though I wouldn't be so quick to say that he's going to retire. Who's going to retire first, Brady or Eli?
Man, that's a good question. I would say...
Same year? No.
I would say Eli.
Eli may go another 4 more years. It may be right around the same time.
That's a good question.
It is. That would be a good guess. All right, top fair tire text line 802-655-6672. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
We'll get more into the Patriots and Giants. What exactly have the Pats lost, and what do we think of Gronk's social media post?
Oh, yeah. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow morning. I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Member City Sports Grill today, tonight, trivia, 7:30 to 9:30. I will be out there. It is on. Even with the snow, it is on. So be out there. We'll be watching the tournament games. And remember to get your tournament bracket challenge in because we're giving away all kinds of prizes. And you'll have up until Thursday at noon Eastern to do that, Brady.
Thursday at noon, you can find the link online at 1013ESPN.com. You can also get it from our Facebook page as well. And Arnie, I'll throw in the music here. You've been arguing with me all break.
Right. Wait, can I just real quick, I just want to read this. K-Man said, Solder's the most significant loss here. Amendola, Lewis, and Butler were all expendable. And then First Time Texas said, where are the Pats spending their money? Why so little cap space? And that's what we were arguing about. I'm like, I don't think I'm understanding this, how, you know, this guy's getting 50, 60 million or, you know, 15 million for 1 year, you know, this year and this. But yet the Patriots only have 14. You can't sign anybody. It's, you know, it's like I have $1.50. I can't buy any ice cream.
The salary cap is $180 million.
Right.
The Patriots have $162 million in active contracts.
That's amazing.
So that's $18 million, right? That's $18 million available. But they've got nearly $3 million in dead cap and guys that they're paying that right. Aren't even on their roster
now,
anymore.
Now, I said, how is that possible? And you said, well, every team doesn't have a big-time quarterback that they got to pay. Tom Brady is actually a bargain because he's getting less easily. He's getting less than Kirk Cousins.
He is a $22 million cap hit.
It's still less than Cousins, but, I mean, I think he's a bargain. And what he was making over the last couple of years, wasn't it $15 million for 1 year? I mean, during one of the years, I feel like we get all these bogus damn reports on all this money. Wasn't it $15 million 1 year he was making a couple of years ago?
Look at the teams that aren't paying quarterbacks versus aren't. The Falcons, they're paying Matt Ryan, $22 million cap hit.
Jeez.
They've got $20 million to spend. They don't have that much money to spend
either.
Well,
then how many – so it's just the –
Actually, they've got about 17.
The Giants are paying Eli Manning. How did they have the money to sign Solder?
Because they had $23 million in open cap space. They gave him $15 million a year. It leaves him a little bit of room.
How did Tennessee's paying
Mariota nothing.
No, because of the rookie contract. They signed two players.
And remember, you get to roll over some of your money from the year before if you don't spend it all.
So they're not really going to sign anybody unless, you know, like a 2 year. See, that's why they should have just signed Amendola then. They should have just said, okay, we'll take him. That's $6 million, right? Two year, $12 million.
Yes.
So that would have been $6 million. and then another $8 million somewhere else. I feel like I'm playing fantasy football or something
like that.
You are. I mean, it's amazing. Seriously, I feel like there's a salary cap, and I got to go ahead and figure out how am I going to squeeze. I mean, what do you think you're going to get for that $14 million if $6 million is too much? What are you waiting for? What are you looking to get there? I don't understand.
I don't know. But I don't think the Patriots are making a major move, at least on the first day of free agency like they did last year. Last year, they made their major move. They went and got Stephon Gilmore. As far as what the Patriots have lost, did you see this? Did you see Gronk's Instagram post to Danny Amendola?
Yes.
Where he basically gave a lengthy post to Amendola, and he ended up saying at the in the middle of it, you know, be free in capitals and be happy in capitals. Do you think Gronk's taking not so thinly veiled shots at the Pats?
Very well could be. At Belichick, because, I mean, you heard about how... Look, I think Belichick is not a nice guy. I don't care what you say about him away from the football field, and he's got a personality. I think he's a curmudgeon. I don't think I'd like playing for him at all. You know, I'll even go and say this, and maybe I'm wrong, and you could yell down my throat if you think I am. I think he's the Bobby Knight of football. I think he's
well, Bobby Knight did some questionable things that Bill Belichick hasn't done.
That maybe we don't know. I don't know. Everybody's upset, saying it's not fun to play there, remember? Be free. Maybe they're just not talking about it. I don't know. He seems like the Bobby Knight of football. Seems like he's got a little bit of a temper, but he keeps it like, not a temper. It seems like he's, what's that word I'm looking for? That he'll always remember. You know, he won't forget.
He holds grudges?
Oh, yeah. He'll hold a grudge for it. Does he not seem like that guy that will hold a grudge against you for the rest of your damn life or not?
I mean, yeah, he could. But I just think, yes, I think the age gap is probably part of this. I don't know that he'd be all that fun to play for. Here's the difference. Guys go there to win Super Bowls. Guys go there ring chasing. All these guys we're talking about leaving, they've won their ring. Some of them have won multiple rings. Go out now, get your money, and... If that's what you're chasing, if the motivation now is money, security after football, playing time, being, you know, getting 400 carries instead of 150 carries, whatever it is, if statistics and money are what you're chasing now, you don't owe the Patriots anything. You've already got your ring.
Patriots don't owe the Patriot fans to at least bring back somebody like Amendola, who's a fan favorite, who's a big target for Tom Brady, who plays well in the playoffs, who is real cheap, that took a pay cut 3 years in a row. Need somebody like that?
The Patriots, in my mind, should have made Amendola an offer. They should have tried to keep him. But I'm saying that Amendola, Lewis, Solder, they don't owe the Patriots anything.
No. I totally agree on that, 100%.
They won
100%.
They won their ring. Now go get money and go get stats if that's what you're
chasing
for.
Well, that's why Amendola left. I mean, he took pay cuts 3 years in a row. He's had enough of that.
And quite frankly, you know, Patriot fans say, oh, Lewis will be nothing without New England. Maybe so, but you know what? He doesn't owe New England anything. Let him go get his money. I don't care. Honestly, I don't care if he's good or bad in Tennessee. He deserves the right to go get the money that he wasn't getting in New
England. Give me another team that loses an offensive lineman, a running back, a wide receiver, and people are not up in arms. Give me any other team that could lose that many guys, boom, 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 and that their fan base would not be up in arms over guys like that. Now, we're not talking about the best. Like, if Pittsburgh lost Juju Smith-Schuster and a running back and an offensive lineman, they'd be up in arms over that. Patriot fans not up in arms right now over any of this.
Because this team has won, and this team has won enough that it has enough good faith with its fan base to say, we're going to figure this out. And if they don't figure it out, I think the fan base, I would hope the fan base, is not spoiled enough to say, look, we could spend some time at the back of the line for one season.
Oh, no. The Patriot fans don't spend their time in the back of the line.
Look, I do
think... They cut in front. They don't spend their time in the back.
I do think this ultimately... I don't know about for this year. It remains to be seen what the Pats do in the draft and what they do in the rest of free agency. For this year, this could end up being a good thing for New England. This team had the third oldest roster in the league as of 2 days ago. You know, the average age pushing 26. This is a young league, and the Patriots were not young. Now, you lose a 27-year-old running back in Deion Lewis. You lose a 29-year-old, going to be 30-year-old tackle in Nate Solder. You lose a guy who's been in the league 5 years now in Malcolm Butler. And then you go and you lose Amendola, who's 32. This team's going to get younger. I'm not saying they're going to be better next year. I don't think you replace those four easily, but they are going to be younger.
Next year, out of those four, who has the better year for their new team?
I'll say Lewis.
I'm not so sure about that.
I mean, Solder's hard to quantify because he's an offensive lineman.
But you can tell. You'll be able to tell by it. We're saying, look, they're running the ball like crazy. Eli's not getting sacked, and they won't start the year off 2-10 or something like
that. I'll say Lewis because they still have Derrick Henry in Tennessee, so he's still going to be part of a platoon back system, and he's going to be able to play to his strengths, catching the ball out of the backfield, change of pace back. I think he's going to have a good impact.
Amendola's not going to have a bad year. Don't think that he's washed up or anything like that.
The quarterbacks in Miami, they stink. Tannehill's awful.
Yeah, he is horrible.
So,
who's
throwing him the ball?
I'm done with him too. I'm fed up with him. You got anything on the Giants? No, I'm very disappointed on Stewart. I don't like what I'm seeing there. I'm very disappointed.
Look, I keep telling you this, and you keep failing to realize that this is how the league is going. You keep saying, "Oh, if you have four running backs, you got zero." Multi-back systems are what is winning in the NFL now. It is what teams are doing. Jonathan Stewart carrying the ball himself 400 times. That's a terrible recipe.
Give me one of those. You better be giving me one of those good backs that I want in the draft.
They will. Yeah. When you look at what the Saints did. Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram.
Yes.
Two backs. Look at the Eagles in the Super Bowl. Three backs.
But they went out and traded for.
Right. Even more so. Yeah. They saw value in having multi-dimensional backs that could do different things. This is how teams are winning. The Patriots had it right last year. They didn't win, but they had it right. Now you talk about the Giants. They will get a running back.
Let me ask you this, though. If you have five running backs, six running backs, how much are you paying all these guys? Maybe that's the reason why you're hamstrung now instead of paying two good backs like Kamara and Ingram.
Patriots were paying nothing for those guys, and they were paying nothing. The Saints are paying nothing for Kamara and Ingram.
Somebody's getting the money on the Patriots.
James White was making $3 million. He was the highest paid running back of all of them.
Damn. But you have to pay five of them. That's like...
You were paying four.
Yeah.
Gillislee was making like $5
million. What a joke that was.
So you had Gillislee, then you had White, then you had Lewis and Burkhead who made essentially nothing. You weren't paying a lot of money.
Yeah.
Those four were making less than, you know... what Marshawn Lynch was making in Seattle and what Adrian Peterson at one point was making in Minnesota. So, and when Ezekiel Elliott gets a new deal, he's going to be making a hell of a lot more than those four combined.
You wouldn't rather have an Ezekiel Elliott than what the Patriots had a running back this year?
I would rather have Ezekiel Elliott if I could guarantee Ezekiel Elliott was healthy and available for 16 games a year, and I can't. I can't do that with any running back. I can't do that with a lot of positions, but especially at running back. Yes, give me the Patriots four combo over Ezekiel Elliott because I just don't know. And by the way, you saw what happened to Dallas last year when Ezekiel Elliott was out of the lineup for six games.
Yes, but that's their fault. They, you know, relied too heavily offensively on them. They could have.
You keep making my
point
for me.
No, but they could have. Well, it was only for six games. They could have overcome that, or less than that. They didn't have to fall apart the way they fell apart.
Look. Minnesota.
They knew it was coming.
Minnesota last year got to the NFC title game, okay? They drafted Dalvin Cook in the late first round or in the second round. I can't remember which one, but they drafted Dalvin Cook out of Florida State. He gets hurt week one. They still had Latavius Murray and Jarrett McKinnon, and they get to the NFC title game. They had three running backs, two of which were accomplished in addition to a rookie, and you know what? They were able to withstand it because they had three.
Well, maybe they got there in spite of losing them, but I mean, yeah. And see what
happened.
Right about that.
Look at what happened to my Seahawks. Marshawn Lynch was gone. Now they're no good and can't run the football. They were too reliant on one guy. You can't be that way in the NFL.
What's coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night?
Coming up on Champlain Valley Game Night, we'll talk with Ken Kreitz, the K-Train of RotoWire. We will do day three of our fantasy baseball prep. I'll make a comparison between the Giants and the Knicks, and I'm excited for that.
All right, tell everybody what's coming up next.
Emily Keniston is going to join us. She's a senior at American University and is a CVU graduate.
Ah.
American University going to the Women's NCAA Tournament. They're a 14 seed, and they are taking on UCLA. Emily Kinnison joins us live next.
All right, and we'll get to UVM also all next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
DeMar, Rich, Arnie, and Brady are back, and they're already starting to argue. The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back. It's 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Everyone pumped to fill out brackets on the men's side as the NCAA tournament really kicks off tomorrow afternoon around noontime. But on the women's side, a tip of the hat locally to Emily Keniston, the CVU graduate and American University standout, has her team going to the NCAA tournament. As a 14 seed, they will take on number 3-seeded UCLA, and Emily Kinnison won Player of the Year in the Patriot League Conference. Emily's with us now on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Emily, simply put, what has the last week been like for you from conference title to selection show and all of the above?
It's been pretty hectic. With the games and the championship, it was pretty nerve-wracking, and then we had our selection show the other night, and also nerve-wracking, but really excited to see where we're heading. The whole team is pretty excited. We're heading out today and looking forward to the flight.
You know, we see all the time in the selection shows, the teams gather in the room, and then when your name comes up on the board, everyone goes crazy. Take me through that moment, what it's like when you see your name flash up in the selection show.
Just a rush of adrenaline. Everyone was jumping up. A few people were falling, but everyone was super excited. I think you can see the celebration on our Twitter feed, and it was amazing. Super, super excited. I think the whole team is really looking forward to this.
Now, your team 26-6 this year, but you also made the NCAA tournament as a freshman. You guys took on Iowa. So how does that experience help you and help the team get ready for this matchup?
Yeah, I think just my freshman year, being able to follow the underclassmen or the upperclassmen's lead and kind of see how they handled themselves through the tournament with poise and composure. They really, really were great role models and are going to be kind of what us seniors are trying to follow in their footsteps.
When you talk about trying to pull an upset, we generally point to a couple of factors that teams have to do. You got to limit turnovers, you got to hit your free throws, and there's a few more things on that bullet list of things to try to have the formula for an upset. What do you guys do to try to win as a number 14 seed?
We're trying to just focus on ourselves, really see how we can do just sticking to our fundamentals and handling their pressure that they throw at us. And I think the last two games in the tournament have really prepared us in some way or another to kind of see the pressure that UCLA will give us. And just really, really, we got to hit shots and be confident with every shot that we take.
You talk about pressure, and you guys were the number one seed in the Patriot League championship in the Patriot League tournament, and you were able to go through and win that. And we talk about UVM up here on the men's side. They were number one, weren't able to win the America East. How much pressure is it knowing that you've been the best team all season long, but it still comes down to just one weekend, essentially?
Yeah, it was pretty stressful, I won't lie. But I think that we had prepared so well for it, and that, I mean, it's such a long season. You can't really let those nerves get the best of you during that moment. Just kind of focusing on the team and being a part of the moment itself is really important during that.
CVU grad Emily Kinnison with us here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. She's a senior at American University going to the NCAA tournament as a 14 seed. They will take on number 3 UCLA. And Emily, for you personally, a really good year. You won Patriot League Player of the Year, averaging nearly 16 points a game. So how special is this year to you from a personal standpoint?
It's very special. I think my teammates really for all that they provided me, and they're the ones that are getting me the shots and allowing me to get some of the praise, I guess. But it's really them that I am very thankful for.
And in addition to you winning Player of the Year, making the tournament, you also got to play earlier in the year at Patrick Gym as part of the Thanksgiving tournament that UVM hosted as well. So when you look back at this senior year as a whole, there have been a lot of good memories this year, huh?
Yeah, a lot of good memories. I'm very thankful that Chris Day allowed us to come and play in that tournament and that our coaches kind of were able to coordinate that. But it was just really exciting to be back in the hometown and have some of my high school and family there.
You know, there's a lacrosse player from Essex High School who's at Notre Dame. There are other Division I women's basketball players. Amanda Pelkey from Montpelier just won an Olympic gold medal in women's hockey. There's not a ton of high-level athletes coming out of Vermont, but what does it mean to you to be in that small fraternity of athletes that are really doing special things?
It means a lot. I think that just the Vermont community itself is really welcoming and kind of always supporting you and your journey, and I think it's really nice that we've had that over the years, and just to be a part of that and have some of the other names like you mentioned, it's really, really incredible.
Emily, we'll get you out of here on this. Last time I had you on, I asked you, what's like the food place you miss most in Vermont? And you gave me some place on Shelburne Road. I just can't remember what it is.
Oh, yeah, Archie's Grill.
So,
really, really good.
So after graduation happens in May, that's the first place you're going, I assume, right?
Oh, yeah. get myself a burger for sure.
Emily Kittison, CVU graduate. I got to ask you, how much do you get a chance to follow the local scene when you're away at school? Because CVU didn't win the girls' basketball championship for the first time in 6 years.
Oh, yeah. I've been following. One of my good friends is helping coach, so she's kind of kept me in the loop, and it's too bad, but they had a good run, and I'm really proud of how that program has shaped up, and Coach Otley is really doing a great job.
Well, we'll wish you better success in the NCAA tournament. Emily Kittison, CVU grad, American University star and player of the year in the Patriot League. Emily, we appreciate the time, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Good story. Good interview. Second time she made the tournament, one as a freshman, now as a senior. UCLA is a damn good team. So,
yeah, it'll be tough to pull the upset.
What are they, 2-15 or
14-3.
14-3?
Yeah, so it's American is the 14 seed, UCLA is the 3.
Yeah, I knew that.
And those women, those women's games in the first round are played at the local site.
Right.
Some of them are.
Oh, so it's at UCLA is what you're telling me in Los Angeles?
I think so.
That'd be a nice little trip out there. All right, I'll tell you what, we want to get back. Matter of fact, speaking about college and tournament and all that, let's talk a little bit about what happened to Vermont yesterday as they went down the Middle Tennessee. That's coming up next, and we're going to have Buster Oldie, so we have a lot to get to right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Arnie injured himself playing basketball.
Ouch!
Again. How is it that he never sprains his mouth? This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Brady, tell everybody about Rex Burkhead.
He's back, baby.
You're
he
excited.
Is back. I am happy. 3-year deal, Rex Burkhead, to stay in Foxborough. Ian Rappaport.
3-year deal.
He says it's heavy on guaranteed money.
That's got to be a mistake.
I hope Rex gets all the $15 million the Patriots had left.
Gosh.
He's my favorite Patriot.
So there's no money left for anybody else now.
I hope he gets every dollar the Patriots had.
That's horrible.
Rex Burkhead is my favorite Patriot.
I know he is, but I mean, it's just ridiculous now.
He's a game changer when healthy.
He's a game changer.
He just needs to be healthy.
Derek in St. Albans says, love hearing from the local athletes. So that's a thumbs up to your interview out there.
Well, thank you, Derek. Appreciate that.
Are we going to have time for UVM? I mean, it's a short time. That's in the 2 years we've been doing the show, that's the one time I would completely like to forget about the game.
They got blown out by Providence at the very beginning of last season,
that's
like the
true,
second
right.
game. But other than that, last night was the most lopsided loss that they've had in the 2 years that we've been together.
Yeah, I'm worried about next year already, a little bit. I am a little worried. I mean, they're not going to dominate like they have the last 2 years. We have become spoiled over the last 2 years.
Yeah, Anthony Lamb will be here. They've got a good recruit coming in by the name of Isaiah Mole down from the Albany area, who I happen to know, and he's good. But
we got another Duncan coming in, right?
Yeah, and we don't know what's
going to happen. How many are there?
There's four total.
If there was five, they could all play at the same time.
One of them plays Division III, and then the three will play here.
Oh, jeez.
And we don't know what's going to happen with John Becker.
Yeah. If he's going to leave, he'll be leaving now since it might not be the best of years or dominating like they did this year.
Oh, they can still be good next year. Let's not act like all of a sudden they're going 0-16.
No, but if you're
going
to leave, you want to leave now. That's for sure. But 3-point range, 2-for-12. Middle Tennessee was 10-22 or something.
10-21. Yeah,
that's not too shabby.
Did you like the four quarters in the NIT?
Not really.
I did actually.
Really, I didn't.
It took away the 1-1 also, which I liked that.
You like to take away the 1-1?
Yeah, because it just
I
keeps
know
you
that
out of the bonus.
Said, right. I kind of like that, to be honest with you. So
you do like the four quarters?
I kind of like the halves because I. Not used to it. I wasn't prepared. And you're giving me these games. I want to see how it is with the big boys in the NCAA. So,
well, this is a test.
Yeah, I know. I don't think they're going to do it for
Speaking of tests, we'll ask Buster Olney about what minor league baseball did, what he thinks
about
that.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get to that. Brady's going to have a update. We'll talk to Buster Olney after that. Then we'll tell you what's going on tonight and all through the week. So that's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local slant on all things sports.
We know that everybody's going to be gunning for us.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN. Hour two of the show, Buster, only mere moments away. Remember now, tonight we are on Be There, Be Square, City Sports Grill, tonight for trivia. 7:30 to 9:30, so make sure you show up. People are asking us, is there going to be trivia, the snow, all this? No, we're on. We're good to go. The roads are fine. though some driveways aren't, but the roads are fine. City Sports Grill tonight. We will be there for trivia, 7:30 to 9:30. We have our all-day watch party on Thursday at the City Sports Grill also, noon to 9 with all kinds of Sam Adams specials. We're there all day. Rich is going to be there like noon to 3, Brady 3 to 6, me 6 to 9. Whatever you want to watch, we will be there. Bring your brackets. We'll talk about the games. We'll go crazy. Whether you want to stop by for an hour and just grab a quick lunch or a quick dinner, or you want to stay there all day, we'll have prizes, T-shirts, all kinds of fun stuff. So make sure you come out to the watch party on Thursday. Friday, again, out at McGillicuddy's in Colchester from 4 to 6. We'll have Guinness specials and all that. Saturday also at McGillicuddy's in Essex and Williston. So we'll tell you more about that and the bracket challenge. But first, we go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, as he does every week from ESPN, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great. What's going on?
Geez, so many changes in minor league baseball. First of all, right off the bat, what do you think of all the changes, too? Is there any of the ideas that you're really going to hate that maybe you could change your mind after watching it for a year in minor league baseball?
You know, I we've talked so much about pace of play. I like all the initiatives. I'm not wild about the extra inning thing where right. You put a runner at second base. But I understand it, especially at the minor league level and spring training games, because teams are, you know, work so hard on preserving pitchers, and there's no point in, the minor league baseball is important, but let's face it, the most important thing is what happens at the big league level and getting players ready to play in the big leagues. So it's I understand why they want to protect pitchers with that rule about putting a runner at second base in extra innings, but the pitch clock stuff, look, I'm all in on that. You know, I really think that players, we know that they used to play at a much faster pace than they do now, and I think the clock will force them to adapt, and players are so talented, I think they will.
Buster, I think this can work in the minor leagues because the minor leagues is kind of built on zaniness and fun, but please don't tell me they're going to try to bring that rule to the major league level.
In some respects, I think that these rules being implemented at the minor league level are kind of like a warning shot across the bow of Major League Players Association, because Major League Baseball does have the ability to unilaterally implement rules on the field, and Rob Manfred chose not to do it. Now, I do wonder if, with the benefit of 2020 hindsight, because he saw all the complaining coming out of the union when they put in, you know, a limit on the number of mound visits by a catcher, there was so much complaining and so much rancor, and I mean, I think they've essentially been promised by the union that that's going to continue all year. I think that Rob, if he could do it all over again, he would probably put in the pitch clocks. And yeah, Brady, you might not like it, but I think eventually it's going to be in the big leagues.
Ugh, Buster, why? I'll also take this one to my grave, too, that I don't think it's so much the time of game as it is the lack of action in games. So Why not some of the other things to alleviate those concerns? Look, I'm not a fan of this either, but why not limit the ability to shift defensively? Why not raise the strike zone and make pitchers bring the ball up to a more hittable area? Why not those things?
Well, and you potentially, first off, I hate the idea of limiting shifts. I got to be honest with you.
Me too.
Imagine if you have white, you know, circles in chalk where the second baseman can only stand there when the ball is pitched, and then they rush out of it as the ball is being delivered. I can't stand that. I think with the current generation of hitters, with the way that they play, where it's all or nothing, try to get the ball in the air, try to hit home runs, don't worry if you have too many strikeouts, there's not much you can do about that. That's just how players like to play nowadays. You know, last year, 117 hitters in the big leagues with 20 or more home runs and 3 hitters in the big leagues who averaged a strikeout-to-walk ratio of 1-to-1. Wow. Think about, you know, where the game is right now. And Brady, your points are well taken, but if you're Rob Manfred at this point, I think he's willing to try anything that's going to, you know, get the game closer to 2.5 hours, 2:45. And what I'm going to tell you now is total speculation on my part. I do wonder if, you know, all these smaller changes, with pitch clock, you know, who knows, maybe with defensive shifts, as you mentioned, other things, they're going to grow frustrated with it, and in an effort to build a better television product, at some point they might actually consider cutting the game from 9 innings to 7 innings
Wow.
to streamline it and get it within a more compressed time frame.
You know, I was going to ask you, no offense to you and Brady, because you guys love baseball, but is baseball so slow, boring, long, not good for TV, the millennials can't take it that we have to make all these changes? I mean, what is that the reason why?
Yeah, a few weeks ago, I was speaking to a group of about 100 kids in my old high school, and I, you know, one of them asked about the pace of play changes, and I asked the whole room, the question, how many of you would be prepared to sit down and watch every pitch of a baseball game of 3.5 to 4 hours? And looking at their faces in response to that question, I think I might as well have asked them if they wanted to serve a 5-year prison sentence. Okay, I just, you know, and I've got 2 teenage kids. I can't imagine them sitting down for that long and spending that much time. And that's the, you know, the metrics that Major League Baseball is looking at. Those are the demographics that they're looking at. Yeah. You know, as I said to the kids in the room, you guys are the ones they're trying to sell the game to. So when they talk about trying to speed it up to 2.5 hours, they understand they're trying to sell it to, you know, generations of folks who want things faster and faster and faster.
Buster, let's move over to on-the-field news. The Yankees signed Neil Walker this week, and he's probably going to have the inside track at second base. See if you agree with me on this one. I think this move helps the Yankees in their ultimate quest to win the World Series. I can justify it. I think it makes them better. But, man, it's going to block those prospects that I wanted to see.
Well, actually, and, you know, I happened to be at the Yankees camp that day when they signed Neil Walker. They are probably going to start Tyler Wade at second base. And Neil Walker is going to be more of a super utility guy. They're really excited about Tyler Wade, who's better defensively. And we saw, you know, last year with Starlin Castro at second base, they weren't happy with his defense. I think they like Neil in that role of, you know, on one day he's playing third, one day he might be playing second, some days playing first, some days he's DHing, you know, in Yankee Stadium as a guy who can get the ball in the air. He's probably going to do some damage. And let's face it, what we see in spring training is not what we usually see in August. There are going to be some major injuries.
Yeah.
And they did feel like this spring that Gleyber Torres, who's considered to be one of the best prospects in baseball, did not have a good spring. And that's not surprising because he hasn't played for so long after having the Tommy John surgery on his non-throwing arm last summer.
All right, let's get to the Red Sox because, I mean, the starting rotation already seems like it's falling apart already. Right in front of us, we haven't even gotten into game one yet. What's going to happen here? What's going on here, Buster?
Well, you know, you hope that they have enough depth to overcome it during the course of the year. It is something that, you know, when you spend as many prospects as they did on a Chris Sale and as much money as they did on a Rick Porcello and on a David Price, that you wouldn't necessarily be in a situation where starting pitching might be a concern and that, you know, someone like a Brian Johnson is suddenly, at the forefront. And that's kind of, boy, that's a scary thing for them in terms of their depth that they have. And that's, you know, the good thing is they have a lot of other good parts of the team. I will tell you this, you know, the Toronto Blue Jays might be more of a factor than we expect. When I've been in their camp, they've a lot of quiet confidence. Josh Donaldson's actually healthy at the beginning of the season. And Aaron Sanchez, who won the ERA title in the American League 2 years ago, Scott told me the other day, he said, man, we faced him and he blew us away. I still am not going to pick them to make the playoffs, but I do think they're probably going to be more of a factor than maybe what we anticipated.
Buster Olney of ESPN joining us here on The Huddle as he does every Wednesday at this time on 101.3 ESPN. Buster, let's go sound some of the moves outside of our region that were made recently in baseball. What do you think of Mike Moustakas back to the Royals? That's a guy you would speculate maybe coming to the Yankees early in the offseason.
Well, and I tell you what, you talk about, and I wrote a piece about this on Sunday, how, look, Scott Boras has had a lot of great contracts in the past. He's made a lot of amazing deals. This winter has been a total disaster for him and for his clients, and you can't really cast it any other way. You know, Moustakas last fall turned down $17.4 million, winds up taking $6.5 million to go back to the Royals. And we talk so much this winter, guys, about teams that are tanking. And I do want to point out, when you get a situation where a team, in theory, it maybe should tank or could tank, that's where the Royals are right now. And give them credit. They're not. You know, Dayton Moore, their general manager, had $20 million extra than to spend because Eric Hosmer didn't take their offer. So he signed John Jay, and he signed Moustakas, and he signed some other guys. I give them a lot of a credit in this era when a lot of general managers will just refuse to spend the dollars.
I'm sorry. I could take a look at my Mets. You know, I understand, you know, that it wasn't going to be the year for David Wright, but I just think of the future or the career he could have had, and that's going to fall tremendously short, Buster. I mean, he could have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, no doubt. He was on a Hall of Fame trajectory with the numbers that he had, and what a great leader. The great people in baseball. And I tweeted this out earlier in spring, how I feel like that his effort to play this year is one of the, for lack of a better way to say it, one of the cooler things in baseball, because he's not gaining anything by still trying to play.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid either way, but he has such a love for the game, and he has such an integrity about him that he's going to try to do everything he possibly can to get back on the field again. Mm. And even if he does, you guys and I know, with spinal stenosis, a regressive condition, which is basically going to wind up ending his career, there's no guarantee of anything. So he could come back, he could play three games, and then he might never play again. He has the option any day if he went to the Mets and said, you know, enough is enough. He could be put on the disabled list the way Prince Fielder was. He'd get his money. So he has nothing really to gain other than to play. And that's really admirable to see the effort that he's put out there to try to make that happen. Mm.
Buster, we've just kind of assumed all along that one of the two wild card teams is going to come from the AL East. We've assumed that one might come from the AL West, either the Angels, the Mariners, or Houston out there. But what about the Twins? The Twins made the playoffs last year, and here they are adding Lance Lynn and Jake Odorizzi to their starting rotation. Twins are pretty good.
And I wrote a piece the other day about how you could make an argument that the Twins have had the best offseason of any team in baseball.
Wow.
If we saw the Padres spend $144 million on Eric Hosmer. Think about this. For $84 million less, $60 million, the Twins landed Logan Morrison, closer Fernando Rodney, Addison Reed, Lance Lynn, Jake Odorizzi in a trade, Zach Duke, and a couple of other guys. Eight players, veteran guys, around their young core players to augment this team this year. There's no risk. These are all 1 and 2 year contracts. Guys, the Twins literally do not have a dime of commitment, financial commitment, to any player after the 2019 season.
Wow.
So they have this great young core of talent. They have no financial obligations deep into the future. There's no risk in the next couple of years, and they're getting better. I think Derek Falvey, their head of baseball operations the last couple of years, is a rising star in baseball. He's done a great job this winter.
No Bobby Bonilla contract there. That's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding.
Buster, we'll get you out of here on this. I am already in the fetal position again because of 36% of the Mariners' opening day roster is injured. But Ichiro's back, so is Ichiro, can he still play a little bit?
Oh, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to talk to you this week. Oh, my goodness. I can't remember if I informed you of this, but, you know, I picked 2 years ago, I picked the Mariners to play in the World Series. Wrong.
Ooh,
last year, I picked them to make the World Series. Wrong. This year, I've sworn off on the podcast we do, I am not picking the Mariners. I don't care if they somehow got Aaron Judge and Carlos Stanton, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw. I'm not picking your Mariners. And I tell you what, based on what we've seen recently, I'm feeling pretty good about that right now. Sadly, all those older guys are getting injured. Look, Ichiro, I think it's neat that he's coming back. I find it to be cool that it looks like he probably has a chance to end his career with the Mariners. I don't know how much he can actually help because, as you know, in this era of everyone trying to jack the ball over the fence, he's not going to lend a lot of power. But it does tell you about sort of where the relationship has gone, that he can return to the Mariners, because when he left in that trade to the Yankees, there weren't necessarily perfect feelings between the two sides.
All right, Buster, just two more weeks, and then we got baseball. Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll speak to you next week. Have a great week.
Okay, see you guys.
Take care. Buster Olney, everybody, on every week. He was thinking about your Brady, about your Mariners when they started going down one by one.
If Buster Olney's thinking about me, then
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. No, that's even though it's cool. For the wrong reason.
It's going to be a miserable year. You're going to be very cranky.
I am going to be very cranky.
Your Mariners and lose. Not even expectation. So maybe you do the flipperoo. Shane in Burlington sent us like 90 texts.
He basically says he's a hockey fan. He hates.
Sum it up for me, yes. Please.
He basically says he's a hockey fan. He hates that they changed the rules of hockey in terms of overtime rules and
really?
All that.
You know, I saw a little bit of it, and I'm like, I thought he was saying, I love the rule changes in hockey. Look how much it helped them. But go ahead.
No, he's saying basically that me of the world, you know, he wants to protect the diehards of each sport. And really, the sport shouldn't care if the casual fan is interested. They should appeal to the diehards.
But football didn't even, you know, football, we changed the rules to help the offense a little bit. We always tinker with the rules. I've never seen rules tinkered with so much than we're doing with baseball. And it really, and I know you're a diehard, but Brady, it's for the millennials. It's for television. We can't have 3.5-hour games. We can't even have 3-hour games. And now you're going to say, do we care about football? Football's different. Football's boss. Football's king. It doesn't make if football is 4 hours, it wouldn't make a difference.
Right, and I'm telling you though that action is the difference, not time.
We slowed down football. We sped up football. Remember now, the ball when you step out of bounds, you set the ball. The clock gets going again. That stuff to keep the game moving.
If it was 3 hours and 20 minutes, but every game was 9-7 and on the edge of your seat, people would be okay with it. When it's 3 hours and 12 minutes and it's 1-0, that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, but usually 1-0 games don't go that long.
When there's 17 pitching changes, they do.
Well, but yeah, but look, I mean, you're going through it.
I am totally against the idea of changing the defense, you know, getting rid of the defensive shift. And I don't mean, you know, something as crazy as, hey, let's put an X at every position and make you stand there to field the ball. But, you know, limiting, just saying that, look, if you're first baseman or second baseman, you have to be on the right side of the infield. You can't cross over second base. Same thing on the left side of the infield. I'm against that. But in the NBA, they said you can't play zone. There have been rule changes against the defense in every other sport. If they did that in baseball, I think it would increase action. I would be against it, but I could justify it.
Well, it's like this. If I told you, Brady, you want to lose weight, and I said, okay, there's 10 things you got to do. You got to stop eating this, and you got to stop doing this, and you got to stop doing that. You got to this, that. And there's like 20 things I'm going to give you. You're going to be exhausted. But I said, well, you know what? Forget about that. If you just eat a little bit less and exercise, you'll be okay. And you'll say, fine, I'll take that. Why do the other 20 things? If I just eat a little bit less, I exercise, I'm going to be okay, right? Baseball wouldn't have to worry about a pitch count or, a pitch clock or how many visits or speeding up the game if they would just do one rule. And the one rule is have 7-inning games. Then you wouldn't have to do all that. So do you want to do all that to change and keep a 9-inning game? Or do you want to keep everything the same and go to a 7-inning game and that would solve everything?
Think of the money, though. Look,
no runner on second base in overtime. None of that goes because now you're pretty much cutting an hour out of the game by going to 7 innings.
Think of the money, though. Think of the money for the players. Think of the money for the team. That's not going to fly at any point soon.
It would be, well, do you want 10 things different or one thing different? One's drastic, but the other 10 seem like they're drastic also.
I still want 9-inning games.
You still want 9. I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with going with the 7-inning games.
What I would be fine with, and the rule that I want them to have, is I want them to say that you need to pitch to at least 2 batters if you're coming into pitch, you need to pitch to at least 2 batters.
Nah, then they'll do the fake injury. People are going to do the fake injury, and then that's going to be the way to get out of that. I don't want any way where you could get out of it easily. I'm not going to play that game and see who's really injured, who's not. Brady, what's coming up on the Champlain Valley game night?
Well, we'll talk with Ken Kreitz of RotoWire, and are the New York Giants exactly like the New York Knicks?
Wow. Losers. What's coming up next?
Coming up next, do we think that people are leaving the Patriots because of Bill Belichick? And should the Patriots or Giants make another big splash in free agency?
It's like that good-looking girl that never has a boyfriend because she's a pain in the backside. That's all coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
And you thought the ESPN Network hosts were opinionated.
Unsupportable opinion.
It's The Huddle with Rich Arnie and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You are in The Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, Town Fair Tire text line. Use it, 802-655-6672. That's 802-655-6672. We've gotten a lot of use out of the Town Fair Tire text line since we put it in. There's no doubt about that.
When did we put it in? About June?
Have we?
Yeah, it's been about June.
Wow.
So we're yeah. coming up on a year or 9-10 months now.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. Matter of fact, we've been getting thousands of texts on the Town Fair Tire text line, all in the same one. Let me answer it. Arnie, what happened in the game yesterday since Brady didn't play and you took his spot? We won by 20. We won by 20.
And how many points did you have?
I had 6.
Good.
But was responsible for pretty much 40. Because when you're rebounding, when you're not turning the ball over, when you're setting up your teammates, when you're playing lockdown defense on the other team.
How many assists did you have?
Oh, thousands.
Yeah, right.
No, thousands. But I play lockdown D, which is probably good for about another 40, 50 points. And the other team wasn't being so douchey. I didn't like that. I kind of like when they're, kind of mean and stuff like that. Though one guy clobbered me and hit me on the top of the head. I thought he split my head open.
Did you get the foul?
I got the foul, but I'm like, are you serious, Sammy? He goes, well, what do you want? You got the foul. I go, well, it'd be nice if you said it was in the act. He goes, you never left the ground. I go, well, because he smacked me so hard.
Did you? So you didn't shoot any free throws?
No, he just took the ball out of bounds.
Was every shot you took a three yesterday?
I did go to the bucket once, and it got blocked because I beat my guy, and the two guys picked me up and blocked it. I was getting triple team for the most part. They weren't going to let me shoot the three. I was on fire until I started missing like crazy.
Do you think Rich is going to get back safe tonight? Well, safe, but do you think he's going to get back tonight?
No, I'm going to say no.
You think he's going to get delayed?
I think he's going to – shouldn't he be on his plane now?
Well, he gets back at 10:30 tonight, so I don't think he's on the plane yet.
You would think he would be. Yeah,
he's only coming from Charlotte.
Oh, from Charlotte. Well,
think he was on a plane right. already from Phoenix to Charlotte.
Well, if he got to Charlotte, then he'll get here. I don't think there'll be much of a problem.
Yeah, but the weather is bad here.
My wife's getting on a flight right now from Cleveland. She's going from Cleveland to Detroit, Detroit to here. So
no issues?
No issues. Knock wood right now. Not right now.
Your wife getting delayed you can't.
She's getting home at 9:30. I don't even want to feed the dog till she gets home. I'm so stressed.
Here's a serious question.
Yeah.
How many times a day do you call your wife?
Oh, hundreds.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Probably we text or call at least 50 to 75 times.
Oh, I don't care about the text.
Yeah.
Oh, texts are fine. How many times do you call?
Call
15?
More than that. Even if it's like for a quick question. Hey, where's this, that, or the other? And then I'll hang up.
I know.
Yeah, more than that, about 25 to 30, 40.
You call your wife 40 times
a day. I call my brother like 20 times. 25 times. It could be like a 30-second call, like, did you see that, trade? And I'll say, that sucked, and he'll just hang up the phone or something like that. No, yeah, seriously.
I'll be in the car with your wife when we go in, to a sales call or something.
And I'll call up.
You'll call up like 4 times.
Well, because I didn't know how to make coffee because we have a new coffee maker, so I had to figure that out.
You drink coffee?
Yes, I do.
You hopped up on coffee as the last thing society needs.
That's good for 3 calls right there. What did you say? How much did I need to use again? And feeding the dogs, if I don't write it down, they won't get fed. There's so much to do out there. The salmon oil and everything.
If your wife and I went to Plattsburgh, like an hour, if I was in the car for like an hour with your wife, you'd call at least 10 times.
Give or take. Yeah, I got stuff to do. I'm busy. I can't be doing all the stuff that she needs to be doing. I got to concentrate on the show. I mean, I'm concentrating on the show.
Does she call you that much, or is it just you calling her? Is it one-sided?
She calls me like before a sales meeting or after a sales meeting. Let me know how it goes.
Do you care?
Fan. I don't. I don't listen. I'm just like, I don't care. I'm not listening. Blah, 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 blah.
But if she didn't listen to you, you'd be all in a TV.
Oh, I'd be furious. I go, you're not listening to me. I'll say, answer me. She goes, what did you ask? I see that you're not listening.
Isn't that the key to a great marriage, healthy communication?
Exactly, exactly. And she doesn't know how to communicate. I'm the best at it, though. That's for damn sure. All right, what did you want to say about Belichick real fast?
Well, the Patriots have lost 4 marquee players. Do you think they're leaving because of Belichick's arrogance, Belichick's attitude?
No, I think it makes it easier to leave. I mean, if you're telling me that they all would have gotten double the money, none of them would have left. But that's not realistic. That's, unrealistic. I will say this, though. Let's put apples to apples. If the Patriots would have matched all those contracts, and it's easier to stay where you are when it's being matched, I'm not so sure all 4 would have stayed. I think Amendola would have stayed. I'm not so sure the other 3 would have
stayed. I think Solder would have stayed.
As we both say that.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure the other 2 would have stayed, to be honest with you.
I don't know about – Butler wouldn't have.
Well, no, of course.
And then Lewis, I would say, is 50-50. I think Lewis is looking for a payday right now.
Yeah, but that's because Lewis is looking for payday, but that's also because Malcolm Butler obviously has a problem, and we're just assuming it has to do with Belichick. I mean, we know it has to do with Belichick, so that's not really a fair question either. I just feel like more people dislike playing for Belichick than like playing for him, to be honest.
You know, I took the – so Ryan Russillo on Twitter today, he put out this tweet, and I think he's right. Seth Wickersham got all this backlash for the article that he wrote in January, you know, put out in January about turmoil within the Patriots organization.
I only think he got backlash because he cited our sources, didn't he? Saying, you know, I heard this and that and the other, and that's where it made everybody else look bad, to be honest with you. I don't think it's because of what he wrote.
He got backlash for it. But
right.
He had an article about turmoil in the Seahawks locker room, and here they are. They've blown it all up. And he had an article about turmoil in the Patriots locker room, and here you have players, a mass exodus of star players, and you also have, you know, Gronk saying that Amendola should, quote, be free and happy, you know, in all caps on social media.
Glenn and Monkton, Patriots free agents aren't leaving because of Belichick. They're leaving because of money when the Pats beat the Falcons. Marty B said,
players come to New England for Super Bowls and go elsewhere to get paid.
Okay, so I missed that second part there. What did the first-time texter say?
I don't even understand.
I didn't understand that one either, so that's why I was going to have you read that.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. So did you see that the Cardinals released Tyrann Mathieu?
Yes, he didn't want to take a pay cut, and he's going to take his chances on the free agent market.
Yeah, so Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. He's only 25 years old, 66 career games.
I remember the Cardinals gave him a chance when nobody else would. Yeah. Remember he was crying, and I'm going to show you that you didn't make a bad thing. And he lived up to his end of the bargain, no doubt about that.
66 career games, he had 25 pass breakups, 22 pass defense, 11 picks, 4 sacks, 4 first fumbles.
Now that's a guy I want.
But
that's a guy I want.
Do you like the injury history?
I'll deal with that.
5 years Matthew's been in the league. 3 years he's ended the year on injured reserve.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It's football. People get hurt.
How much money do you want to give for a guy with those kind of concerns?
How much do I got to give him? Give me a number. Throw out some numbers I'm going to have to give him.
I got to look at what the number that he had before was.
Yeah, give me – well, what's some of the – is he going to demand one of the top corners or what? I mean, is he going to demand in the top five?
Well, and remember, he also plays the slot mainly. So you can't, if you're a slot corner, you can't do that. You can't ask for Richard Sherman, Darrell Revis in their prime money when you're a slot corner.
Well, you tell him that, okay? Because I get a feeling he's going to ask for some pretty high money. There's no doubt about that. He's not going to back down. That's why he opted out of his contract.
I mean, he had, let's see. He made, I'm trying to figure, what? Since he's been released, it's harder to figure it out. It looked like he had about he made $24 million in his career so far, but he was released.
What was he supposed to make this year, do you know? Does it say?
No.
No? Well, is he going to demand, what, is a three-year, $30 million contract? That's way too much.
Think he thinks that's too little.
I would pay him what Richard Sherman's getting. That's for damn sure, but he's going to demand a hell of a lot more than that. 3 year, $30 million is too little?
I think Mathieu would think it's too little.
Well, then we got a problem. Houston, we got a problem.
He had a 5 year, $62.5 million extension
that
was signed in 2016. He had a $16 million signing bonus.
So he wants like $15 million a year then, or $13 to $15 million a year.
So, look, if I'm the Patriots, I would be interested, but
he's big time.
Yeah, I'd be more interested if I were the Giants, I think, though.
Well, where's all this money coming from, right?
The Giants have more money than the Patriots do. I'd be more interested if I were the Giants in Tyrann Mathieu.
I would cap out on that if you're not going to give me the running back I want, or if you're going to give me the running back through the draft. I will cap out on that if I'm going to get one player. I'm not the kind of guy that wants to sign 8 players like the Minnesota Twins did that you and Buster only were oogling and ogling about that they got this, that, and the other. I'll take the one big superstar. And hope I get away with it. So I'll do that. I will take him, but I'm not, you know, it depends on how much money it's going to cost me. I'm not going to give him a 5 year, $62 million contract. Though, 25 years old, that's damn.
25 years old, but look, he's had a torn ACL and LCL in 13. He tore an ACL in 2015. I mean, he's torn his ACL twice.
Richard Sherman's getting not big money. I should take that back, but he's getting the contract, 3 year contract. I know it's not all guaranteed. If he's going to get it at that age, I'm certainly going to go ahead and give it to him. That's for damn sure. What is coming up next?
We'll tie a bow on the UVM men's hoop season
boy.
By talking with Sam Hyman, the
Sam!
Voice of the Catamounts.
He's next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady. It's really sort of an addiction. 101.3 ESPN.
All right, show just flying by. Good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, as we go right out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, we called the game yesterday for UVM on the road at Middle Tennessee. It's Sam Hyman. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing good. And what was the toughest part about yesterday? Was it the short turnaround going down there? Was it getting used to the new three-point line or the four quarters? What was the toughest part?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a tough game. Vermont came out and really took it to Middle Tennessee in the first quarter. They were up by five, and then kind of the wheels fell off the wagon. But I don't think it had anything to do with the new rules per se. It was just Middle Tennessee. They made shots. I mean, they shot 70% from the floor in the third quarter, and there just seemed to be a wide open shot after shot. They were getting to their spots, and nothing really Vermont could do, unfortunately. That's kind of what the bottom line was with the game. I mean, the fact that they just continued to knock down shots hurt Vermont. I don't think it had anything to do with the rule changes per se, but the rule changes were interesting. I think it's a good idea for college basketball to try new rules in an NIT tournament like that.
Sam, mentally, did you think Vermont was prepared for this? I know Middle Tennessee, I thought if there was one team that wouldn't be prepared, they're upset they didn't make the NCAA tournament. But it seemed that loss really took its toll on Vermont to UMBC. Were they mentally prepared to play this game or what, Sam?
Yeah, I think that's the ultimate question, obviously, going into the game. For both teams, it was an intriguing matchup because you were wondering, okay, which team is going to come out with some energy, with some enthusiasm, and I think both teams did that. They shot 50-plus percent from the floor. Both teams did in the first quarter. I think Vermont was mentally prepared, I'll be honest. But, again, John Becker said, I mean, it was one of the toughest losses he's been a part of against UMBC, and definitely emphasized how it would be a challenge to get the guys up for this game. So it was a challenge. But again, like Coach Becker said, this is the NIT. It's not a bad tournament to be in per se. In hindsight, it's the second best postseason tournament in college basketball. So again, while the hopes of getting to the NCAA tournament was something that went to the wayside after the loss to UMBC, I think the guys did the best they could to regroup, but you definitely feel for them. You feel for everybody involved in the heartbreak there, and it trickled down from the coaching staff onward. So what you can only do is regroup. They tried to do that and just ran into a team, quite frankly, that should be in the NCAA tournament. I think Middle Tennessee is a remarkable team.
Yeah.
Just seeing them in person once, they are legit, and it's a shame they also didn't get in.
After the game, you had a chance to speak to Anthony Lamb. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I thought it was some passionate words from the sophomore Anthony Lamb, a guy that has really gone through a lot, obviously, this year, and he is determined. He's focused, and a season coming up that is obviously going to have a ton of question marks, losing six seniors. I think Anthony Lamb's going to step up and make a bit of a statement, but. Yeah, I mean, that's just the kind of guy he is, man. He's so passionate, and he cares so much. And, I mean, you saw his performance in the last game of the season, scoring 18 points and finally getting his rhythm back. First four games back, he struggled to get a shot to go. And off the court, I mean, you heard him say post-game, he cares so much about his guys, especially the seniors that are leaving now. They meant so much to him, and he's grown up each and every day in my eyes from being around him on the road and stuff. Just a great kid, and continues to really make the Vermont basketball program proud.
Sam, one of the big off-season storylines for UVM is going to be John Becker, and if he's going to be back or not. So what do you think is next for John Becker?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's obviously a good question. I think John's done an unbelievable job at Vermont. This is, of course, his seventh year, and he's won 20 games or more in each of his 7 years. And over the last 2 years, he's had the first and second most win totals in Vermont school history. So you obviously would expect that would attract the outside, some other schools, but you never know, because Vermont is a program that at this point, over the last 2 years, has really been brought to a point where maybe down the line in the past it wasn't talked as highly as it is right now, with the exception of the 3 years, of course, that Tom Brennan had and the upset over Syracuse. So Vermont right now, they're on the cusp of getting an opportunity to win an NCAA tournament game again, so that obviously has to factor into it. But John is a really personable guy. From being around him the last 2 years, he loves his staff, he loves his players, he cares about them, and just watching him hug each senior coming off the floor last night was tough. And he cares so much. So it's a tough question. I could see it both ways, but at the end of the day, I think he'll make the right decision and do what's best for him. And like I said, just the job he's done at Vermont so far has been incredible. And obviously the program would love to have him back. And I think all signs right now point he will. But you know, that's something that I don't know.
Sam Hyman, voice of UVM basketball, right here on 101.3 ESPN, with us in the huddle. Sam, when you look back at this season, what was your favorite memory of this year?
That's a good question. I mean, there are a lot of great memories. I pinpoint a couple in particular. I think just go back to the opportunity Vermont had against Kentucky to win that game, 2 3-pointers to potentially tie the game, and only losing by 4. Really, really competitive in that game. And then you turn over to the Bahamas Showcase, where Trey Bell Haynes had an unbelievable crossover move and ended up scoring the game winner to cap off that championship. Was remarkable. And then to put together 15 straight wins this season without Anthony Lamb. From my 2 years here, I've seen the program win so much, and that's all I've been around since being here, is just they win, and they win constantly. And to do it in different ways from last year to this year, to face adversity and to still see them win was remarkable. And the careers that the six seniors had was great. But I mean, it started with that Kentucky game. Really was an eye opener for me about how much this program has grown, where it is right now, and they were on the same stage as an SEC team that right now is a 5 seed in the dance, and they took them down to the wire. So that was definitely a proud moment for sure that I'll remember, and the careers obviously of the seniors.
The seniors: Trey Bell Haynes, Peyton Henson, Urquhart, all gone. What's next, and what could you possibly say? Those three guys, all classy guys, all great representatives of the University of Vermont.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, Peyton Henson, first off, comes over from Tulane and is contributing right away. Has a lot of heart. His parents are at almost every game. I want to say his parents came to 20 games this season.
His mom's a big listener of the show. I just want to throw in that. Yes.
you can't take that stuff for granted. I mean, they put their heart and soul out to come watch and play, and a 1,000-point score. And I mean, the list goes on and on with the seniors. Trey Bell Haynes, and an unbelievable career, more than 1,600 points, has hit numerous game-winning shots in my time here. Only I know he had a very successful career to start at Vermont, but I saw him hit a game winner against Wofford last year, and then obviously against Northern Kentucky, and many more big shots as well. And then you trickle down to a guy like Drew Urquhart, who his senior year, and many people didn't expect maybe to have this much of a contribution, but he nearly scored as many points in his first 3 years this season alone, which is just a testament to him stepping up in Anthony Lamb's absence. Nate Rohr, David Urso, two guys that are the backbone just of a lot off the court, a lot that people don't see as well. And then Cam Ward, you can't forget about Cam, who John Becker was so happy about the last half of the season. To get sixth man of the year and to come up big in a couple of games where Ernie was absent was huge. So a 99-win graduating class doesn't come around all that often, and John Becker will be the first one to tell you, in addition to the entire staff, that they were blessed to have this group.
Sam, we'll get you out of here on this. A lot of what's next for UVM, what's next for John Becker, what's next for you?
Yeah.
I'm going to pack up and move around again, because that seems to be the theme here early on in my broadcasting career. But that's what it's all about, right? You have to kind of move around, take the opportunities that are given to you, and eventually you'll settle down into a nice home at some point here in the near future. But I, as far as the immediate future, I am going back to Columbia, South Carolina, and working for the Fireflies. So I'll be the broadcast and media relations assistant down there for a second season. And then, you know, I've done a good job of trying to get as many freelance opportunities with various schools down in North, South Carolina, Virginia, as well, throughout the course of the year, in between basketball and baseball seasons. So that's what my immediate future holds. I'm looking to continue on with the baseball, obviously, this summer, and we'll see if I'm back in Burlington. I hope to be back in Burlington, but you know, the broadcast business is crazy, and anything can happen at any given time, just like other people in the sports business.
Well, we certainly hope you're back. Also, Sam, wraps up a great year. Enjoy your time back down there in South Carolina, and we'll catch up with you later on, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me on, and it's been awesome being around the station and everything. And year two was a huge success. So thanks, guys.
Thanks, Sam.
Sam Hyman, everybody, the voice of UVM men's basketball. We'll come back. Last story standing. I got two of them as we wrap up the show right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Tomorrow. It's time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
2 years ago, a family found the seventh Ty Cobb baseball card. They're valued at about $250,000 a piece. Well, that same family said, you know what? Well, there's one. There may be another one. Let's clean out the attic. And boom, they found the eighth one up in their great-great-grandfather's attic. They both came from the same matching set. There were two in the matching set. This one worth $250,000. They're from the rural South. They plan on keeping this one as a, you know, keepsake. The other one they sold
for $250,000.
They might have gotten more than that. I'm not as sure how much they sold it for. But imagine getting two of those. There's said to be, if I'm correct, 26 of them? 24. Excuse me, 24 known copies.
Still rather have the Honus Wagner.
Yeah, that's the, how much is that one? Do you know?
Oh,
that's like,
I don't know off the top
one
of my head, yeah, but yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Isn't that the one with Charlie Sheen and all that?
Yeah.
One? Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. So, wow. Busy week tonight. Trivia. City Sports Grill. I'll be there 7:30 to 9:30. Be there or be square. Fabulous prizes. So make sure you come on out.
And then remember, tomorrow, no show, but we've got the NCAA tournament on all day, and we'll be watching it all day. Also, at the City Sports Grill, thanks to our friends over at Sam Adams. We got plenty of specials, so come on over for lunch.
And sign up for the contest.
Play hooky from work, and then sign up for the bracket challenge also. You can do that at 101.3ESPN.com.
And the password is huddle, right?
Password is huddle.
Huddle, because somebody texted that
capital
in.
H.
Capital huddle. H. Oh, I didn't put that in, but it's huddle. All right, for intern?
No one.
No one. Rich, hopefully back on Monday. For Brady, I'm Marty. Champagne Valley Game Night next, right here on 101.3 ESPN.